The Audible of the best in Bitcoin. This is the Cryptoconomy. What is up, everybody? We are doing another piece from Bitcoin Magazine. They have a great new series right now. I actually had planned to do something different. It was actually another Bitcoin Magazine piece, but there are a ton of good ones in, like, if you go to their front page now, they've got Bitcoin through dissident technology, and it's all about the idea that Bitcoin is the technology of dissent, and there are, like, seven or nine some odd articles, all, like, based on this topic, essentially. And they are all great reads. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get them all on the show. I'd be doing nothing but Bitcoin Magazine for 2 weeks. But I highly recommend checking it out. And I will link to it in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But this one is actually another one by Colin Harper, which we just recently did on the show. And it likens back to an old guys take episode that I did. Because we're kind of seeing the first iterations of what I've been waiting to see in the Lightning Network. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the article. It's titled, again, by Colin Harper on Bitcoin Magazine, and it's titled "How the Lightning Network Could Improve Encrypted Messaging." Quote, "Using a network of micropayment channels, Bitcoin can scale to billions of transactions per day with the computational power available on a modern desktop computer today. Sending many payments inside a given micropayment channel enables one to send large amounts of funds to another party in a decentralized manner." End quote. Thus reads the Bitcoin Lightning Network white paper, the seminal document for Bitcoin's secondary payment network written by Thaddeus Dreija and Joseph Poon. This 2016 paper would refocus the debate on scaling, as notions of bigger blocks and on-chain growth largely gave way to a new network of payment channels and deferred on-chain settlement. But who would have thought that some 4 years later, developers would look toward the Lightning Network not just as a payments solution, but as a new delivery method for encrypted messaging, too? Well, apparently a handful of forward-thinking Bitcoin developers, namely Yost Yeager and Paul Itoi. Both Yeager and Itoi have cooked up some interesting methods for lightning-powered messaging, though each use different technical mechanisms for transmissions. They're also disseminating their solutions differently, with Itoi and his team launching its Sphinx Chat as an application, and Yeager releasing the source code for his WhatSat to the public directly. We covered how these messaging apps work at the end of 2019. The TLDR, a recent update to Lightning has allowed for certain extra arbitrary data to be added to Lightning transactions. For these use cases, these data would be messages, which can be sent directly to a peer for no cost or routed through the network for a small fee, just like typical Lightning transactions. But why would you default to these protocols and not to other encrypted messaging options? The answer lies in what Lightning messaging can offer that traditional encrypted options can't. Decentralized pigeons. Some historical trivia. Messenger pigeons were one of many forms of communication in World War I, especially popular among tank crews, who lacked other reliable forms of communication, as radios were crude at this point in history. The messenger pigeon was a failsafe for when other options, like telephones, signal flares, or runners, had failed or weren't available. But messenger pigeons were vulnerable. Knowing they carried vital messages, enemy soldiers would have an open season with these unfortunate high-soaring couriers. Of course, there was an answer to such setbacks: encryption. Indeed, encrypted messaging would play a crucial role in World War I and many other wars. This, more or less, solved the problem of interception. If the enemy couldn't decrypt the cipher, then it was useless, whether he got a hold of it or not. Come the 21st century, and encryption has arrived at the forefront of national cybersecurity debates. For instance, some government officials have called for encrypted backdoors in mainstream consumer technology in the interest of, quote, national security. And therein lies the problem. In World War I, the pigeons themselves were just the vessels for transmitting messages. In case anyone needed reminding, they didn't produce the encrypted message themselves, nor the keys to decrypt it. That was the job of military intelligence. But with electronic communication, the messaging app itself produces the means for encrypting the messages you send. So in many cases, unless you or someone with the technical chops can review and verify the code, the application you use for encrypted chatting is only as secret as the app developer's ability to keep their promise. This is why most Bitcoiners only trust open source applications like Signal as being secure, while others like WhatsApp and Telegram are not to be trusted as such. So, with traditional encrypted messengers, you often have the problem of a single point of failure. You are trusting a centralized entity whose code you haven't reviewed at its word that the messages you send can only be decrypted by you and the recipient, that no back doors exist. And you are also betting that governments won't pressure these companies into giving them access, or that they already have. Conversely, Lightning Network messaging relies on the infrastructure of Bitcoin's decentralized secondary network. With some 11,000 known public nodes, Lightning Network messages are routed through this Tor-like network without any central arbiter. By setting up a direct channel with your recipient, you can beam the message directly to them without having to pass through an intermediary node at all. As Yeager told Bitcoin Magazine in November 2019, there's no central pillar that you can knock down to compromise Lightning Network encrypted chatting. Quote, "The difference is that there is no central server involved," he said. "No single kill switch that could be used to shut down all communications, or that is used more selectively to deny certain users to communicate." End quote. Private pigeons. As an extension, Lightning messages also have the benefit of being more private. This follows the same line of argument that leads people to say Lightning transactions would also be more private. Since they are basically onion network routed, the path for each message would be lost in the hops it takes on the network. The only way this may be compromised is if one node were responsible for, say, 50% or more of a message's routing. A real possibility if the path from sender to receiver includes fewer mutually connected peers than not. So, in some cases, it may be better privacy-wise to set up direct channels for your messaging. Quote, "Chatting over Lightning also makes it much harder to find out who is communicating with whom," Yeager said. "It is not required to have a direct, observable TCP/IP connection between users, and there is no central server, either, that could reconstruct the communication pathways," end quote. Of course, as we mentioned above, routed messages could still theoretically be de-anonymized, but as Yeager said, quote, "privacy and security are relative concepts." This still could be more private than legacy options, and even if a node knows who the sender is, it still can't intercept or decode their message. Clunky pigeons. Ultimately, Lightning messaging has a leg up against traditional encrypted chat when it comes to censorship resistance and privacy. But this doesn't mean that it's perfect, or that people will view it as the more attractive alternative. As we have seen with Bitcoin and free and open source software writ large, the decentralized option is usually the most difficult to implement at scale, and can be the most difficult to grasp for novice users. Still, devising a scheme that handles both messaging and payments under one roof could be a killer app, Yeager thinks. Even more important is architecting a permissionless and censorship-resistant means of communication. In fact, decentralized money would likely necessitate such a tool, just as it would require decentralized identity. Quote, "The key benefit is integrating the ability to pay and communicate under one identity," Yeager said. "Our core belief? The privacy and censorship resistance that Lightning provides for payments should apply equally to speech. Using Lightning for chat will accelerate the adoption of Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. End quote. So, will Bitcoiners and the public beyond flock to Lightning messaging? With Sphinx Chat currently in closed beta, we'll soon find out if this alternative lives up to the expectations and/or is as seamless to use as the alternatives. Jaeger believes that people will default to the Lightning-based alternative as snafus like the Equifax breach and the creeping reality that the code for encrypted chat services will have backdoors built into their design engenders distrust in centralized services. So, with the fate of private online communications up in the air, Lightning's new use case may prove essential for establishing online sovereignty in an age of ever-increasing government surveillance. All right, and that will close our great little article, again, from Colin Harper. And I want to talk a little bit about both these chat apps and then reference some things that I talked about in my guy's take way back when, talking about how I'm essentially waiting for something very similar to these to arrive on the scene. And I'm really excited to play around with these. So real quick, let's hit our sponsor. And then we'll get Guy's take after the break. All right, so just so you know, the Guy's take I keep referencing is actually my second Guy's take episode, and it's titled The Lightning App I Want to Use. And it is essentially a variation of Sphinx or WhatsApp, and simultaneously one that leverages like using your own Lightning node. And leverages also a couple of the security, essentially gets around a couple of the security trade-offs that some of the Lightning tools actually have, like watchtowers and things like that, where rather than trusting some service out on the internet or some centralized company or something like that to be your watchtower, just in case, so a watchtower. If you know anything about Lightning, is that you actually have to be online like all the time in order to be certain that no one is trying to close one of your channels in an uncooperative state, like basically challenging what the truth of your Lightning channel is. And since it's off chain, you basically have to be there to challenge them. So if you've got like a 2-day like insurance policy built into your Lightning channel, then you essentially need to be online at least once every 2 days to make sure that no one can close your channel with and cheat you out of the valid state of transactions on that channel. You have to be there to basically appeal to the court and say, no, I have the real version here, which is Bitcoin in this instance. Bitcoin is our decentralized court. And a watchtower is a service that on the Lightning Network basically stores this for you so that when you go offline, it will appeal to the decentralized court of Bitcoin on your behalf if someone cheats you while you're away. And what's great about this technology is that you don't actually have to give up any privacy during normal transactions. All you actually have to do is give them a hash of the data and just enough of a piece of information in order for them to rebuild the backup clause, the insurance clause of your Lightning channel, of the payment that you made. But you do have to send them a new one, essentially, every single time that you update the channel. But again, you don't have to give any discerning information about what that payment was or really what's going on inside your Lightning channel. However, when a competing transaction is broadcast, if you go away from the network and someone tries to cheat you out of that channel, the watchtower then sees the details of that transaction, and then they have to rebuild the insurance key that's built into the agreement and then execute it on your behalf so that you get the correct state. You get the money that you're actually owed in the channel. But you did give up privacy to the watchtower in that situation. So one idea that like just kind of immediately, I couldn't believe, like people would constantly talk about like, oh, centralized, oh, privacy problem and blah, blah, blah. You got to trust and hoo-ha, like the FUD got ridiculous about how watchtowers were a centralized service. And all I could think is how easy it would be to not have to use a centralized service with this. It's just a part of the protocol, right? Like, so if you had, like, I have an extension of like Jewel, Lightning Jewel, is a browser extension that's connected back to my BTC Pay server right now. Even though I actually don't have any active channels at the moment, but it is connected to that key. So it's an extension of my BTC Pay server, plus my BTC Pay server is always online, but I could also connect my mobile wallet to it. I could also connect my desktop computer to it. There's actually a lot of different ways I could connect to the same wallet and get access to it. So why wouldn't I use my own devices as my watchtowers? I have way more than one device connected to the internet at some point during the day. And if the internet goes down at my house, my mobile's still connected. I have good connections. But then again, not only can I use my own other devices as watchtowers, but I can also use someone else's device. I can always use somebody I trust. And therein lies a huge use case for like a special contacts list, for a group of trusted nodes or a group of like trusted people, maybe in a messaging chat app, like your friends list, to be watchtowers for each other, to have a sort of neighborhood watch so that everybody is keeping track of and playing watchtower for everybody in your little friends group. And I don't have to trust it with anybody else. I've got, you know, if I've got 9 friends, I've probably got 22 devices that are ready and waiting to be my watchtower if anything goes wrong. And they're all for people that I explicitly trust, that I've put in my friends group, that is in my social circle that I know and relate to. So that was always like a FUD that I just thought was ridiculous. And I'm like, there's so many simple, like the range of solutions for this is unbelievable. Like people are purposely trying like to not think. Like you have to like really try super hard to not find a solution to it, to think that the end result is centralized, no questions asked, can't do anything else. Like it could not be a simpler problem to be like, oh, well, I just need a backup that is online in case I am offline. But anyway, that was part of the app that I wanted to see. But what I'm hoping for, and still I'm hoping Sphinx, I haven't actually used Sphinx because I wanted to set up with my BTC Pay server. I'm still working out a lot of kinks there and I haven't set up my channels yet. I think I finally got it sorted out and have been really enjoying it since getting over a couple of barriers there at the beginning that were super frustrating, admittedly. But I wanted an encrypted chat app because one of the most powerful things about Lightning is you have an always online digital identity. So we talked about Microsoft Ion recently on the show, another Bitcoin magazine read actually. It's one of the more explicit solutions to that problem that really wants to be able to integrate that identity with other systems. And if there is a company that can pull it off, and that is big enough to get the infrastructure and the network to have something useful, it's probably Microsoft. But regardless, Lightning essentially already has that built in. Payments, messaging, like the gossip protocol, the just the data app layer or the data and messaging layer on top of Lightning that's just to update channel balances, to signal to the rest of the network, to be like, hey, I'm here and I have this available in this direction, et cetera, et cetera. Like just the normal protocol communication is actually a form of encrypted messaging, an onion routed messaging layer for the Lightning system. This is all built in by default and it's all locked to public keys already. Extending that to messaging is not that difficult. Well, I mean, I'm not a developer, so I don't know the extent to the difficulty, but all of the bootstrapping problem has been dealt with. You already have a public key. You already have a presence. You already have, you're already locking messages. They're just, those messages are simply payments. So there's not functionally a whole lot different between sending a payment and sending an encrypted message. Now, the main problem with both of these apps is that they leverage different parts of the protocol in order to actually deliver the message. And I think that's a little bit overkill. Like to some extent, both are actually some purposeful form of DDoS of the Lightning Network by loading up either the TLV, like payloads, essentially the same way you send a payment to relay messages through the Lightning Network. And the problem is that is it comes with standard fees. And in the other instance is that you actually send it over the gossip message. So like just like you would respond to, the payment failed to send. Well, you can actually attach arbitrary data to that message. And in that, payment failed response over the Lightning Network, you can attach an encrypted message. So you can essentially hide it and make it look like billions of payments are failing, when in reality, you're actually just using that your free riding on the ability to send failed payment messages by attaching real messages, just a chat message to that, to send it through the Lightning Network. But here's where I think it goes wrong a little bit, is that both are requiring censorship resistance and offloading all of the need or all of the bandwidth, all of the data onto the Lightning Network unnecessarily. And what I would actually like to see this eventually do, even though I actually really like that it's being used that way right now, because it is actually, it will force the Lightning Network to adapt to some sort of DDoS. But if you actually attach a payment to it, whether it's 1 sat or 10 sat, whatever it is, if you attach a micropayment to it, then you're essentially creating a fee market for tiny amounts of data to be transmitted across the Lightning Network. And it's not like it's a huge load. So if you have like a small payment, you could at least deter someone from purposefully just being a nuisance. But what I see is a better alternative, which is probably an iterative improvement that we'll get, you know, many, many times after working out basically the fundamental aspect of these chats, is that if the message does not go through, there's no reason not to use a centralized service for the most part, like to trust one node with it. You know, maybe there's like 20 nodes offering up their services on the network as being your connecting node between you and your friends. Those nodes connect to each other to basically make it a single network, but you don't have to have channels. Just like Jaeger said that you don't have to have a TCP/IP connection, is that if you're just connecting over like a normal Tor connection, which is great because it's essentially built into Lightning, I don't see where censorship resistance is a huge problem. And you should be able to just connect directly to who you're having a conversation with and then send messages. Now, if that person is not online, therein lies where you want to actually offer up a fee for someone on the network to store that transaction or route it for you, so that when they come back online, you don't have to be there for them to get the message. They will get it, basically like a watchtower service for Lightning messages, for encrypted messaging. And I think that has a place, is that how are you paying for the service that transmits the message? And with micropayments basically built in, you have that very easy way to do that. But if you're both online, why would you use those? It's just not necessary. I see two instances where it is a benefit to use the Lightning protocol to leverage the message sending. If one party is not online, well, you need someone to hold it until they are online. Obvious. Let's use our infrastructure that we've built up and all of these nodes that are always online, and let them forward the message as soon as the other person says, hey, I'm back. Two, when the message won't reach the sender, when someone is clearly in the middle trying to stop the transaction, trying to stop the data from reaching them, well, take a different route. Have it as a backup. For some reason, the centralized service that I'm using, or the node that I have chosen to use as my encrypted chat connection node or whatever it is not sending my message, well, then I will send it over the Lightning Network so that the fallback is censorship resistant, is censorship resistance when censorship actually shows up, but not in any other case. And I kind of see that as a natural improvement or a natural extension of where this is going to go, because for the most part, with open source software, with a persistent public key identity and online presence, and with default onion routed and Tor-like connections to reach other peers on the network, I don't see centralized connection servers like chat servers as this enormous problem if there is a failsafe in the case of something going wrong or in the case of them being compromised. Now, with that said, I haven't really used WhatsApp, and I have signed up for Sphinx, but I haven't used that either. So I actually haven't for something that I've been really wanting for a long time and I'm really excited about. It's just not something that I've gotten around to yet. I've just been busy with other stuff. But I do fully intend to use that. And I also want to use Sphinx because they have something that I really hope works, a recurring Lightning donation. And it's a way to build in a recurring payment, like essentially the Patreon of Lightning and Bitcoin, using a Sphinx payment button. And Sphinx is actually based on the private like communication protocol built on Lightning. So that's actually part of the Lightning Network is Sphinx. So don't confuse the two. The Sphinx chat is an app that's just kind of taken the name because it's utilizing that part of the protocol. But this is, regardless, this is something I definitely see as a huge use case for Lightning. And as one of those first out the gate, like proof of concept style services that Lightning Network can provide. Because what we are building is the bootstrapping for an infrastructure of pay for services, of essentially all of these always online nodes, all of this constantly present hardware, persistent identities that you can lock payments to, that allow for all sorts of additional services, that allow for channel management services, watchtower services, reputation services, public identity services, for a verification, maybe even like the idea of quicker like signature verification and like sort of like certificate authority style services in some sort of decentralized manner, maybe even a paid for DNS of some sort, you know, like Microsoft Ion could extend it, even though I don't really think DNS is the huge problem that people make it out to be. It does have its issues, and maybe you do need, there are certainly cases where you need censorship resistance in that despite most, you know, like, you know, the piratebay.org has not, you know, 14 years later, 15 years later, however long, they still have their damn domain. DNS is not a giant problem in my book, but regardless, it's good to always have the option available because that's going to prevent it from ever being the terrible problem that it could be. So the Lightning Network is just this giant infrastructure to facilitate all of these other things that have a massive bootstrapping problem. And Lightning could basically get around that. It could leapfrog those issues to make these sorts of things viable now. And I really hope to see encrypted messaging take off. I'm going to try to get on Sphinx chat, and maybe today, maybe that's what I'll take this afternoon, really commit to getting my BTC Pay server set up and get my public key set up so that if somebody wants to message me on Sphinx chat, they can. And because it makes no sense for me to be an advocate of it and then not actually go try it. So, maybe this will finally kick me in the butt to go play around with it. So I will link to both of these apps, both WhatsApp and Sphinx Chat. And if you want to dig a little bit deeper into how it works, we haven't read it on the show, but there is an article that really kind of goes into the details of how both of these how both of these apps actually work on the back end, like the different pieces of or parts of the Lightning Network that they actually utilize. If you want to check those out, I'll have that link in the show notes as well. And of course, the Guys Take episode where I really go into depth on the Lightning app that I want to use, the encrypted messaging app, and what I think it could utilize that could really make Lightning more user-friendly and really put it in a place of, kind of like Jaeger, kind of like they said in this article, and Colin like really got into in writing this, is that encrypted chat with payments, with decentralized payments built in, could really be a game changer. It could be a huge shift if the onboarding was really fast. It uses, you know, turbo channels or whatever to set up. And you're immediately just there and you can send micropayments, or you can have an encrypted chat with your friends and know that it's censorship resistant, that it's private, and that nobody can stop you from having a conversation, which I think is, it should be default in the crypto economy, that we should absolutely solve that problem and as robustly and solidly as we possibly can. So, with that, I want to say another huge thank you to Bitcoin Magazine for this, to Colin Harper for writing this. He's had some really good articles lately, and I've loved both of these. And again, Bitcoin Magazine, this Technology of Dissent like series that they've published recently, really good stuff. Highly, highly recommend it. I'll link to the main page where they have all of these listed, so you can check them out. And most of them are really short. This was actually one of the longer ones. Of the reason, most of them are like 4 or 5 minute reads, but they're just solid. So definitely recommend you go check those out. A thank you to the Let's Talk Bitcoin Network, as always, for sharing this out and getting this to a broader audience. This is my Bitcoin Audible project, and to build out and get more access and to allow people to learn about the crypto economy and learn what they need to survive and be sovereign in the crypto economy. And I think this is one of those tools that's just critical to that future. Thank you to all you guys. I love you all. Don't forget to check out thecryptoeconomy.com. I'm updating a couple of things probably tonight and in the next couple of days that hopefully I have something to announce soon. Still working on a bunch of stuff in the background. Do not forget to subscribe. I am The Crypto Economy at The Crypto Economy on Twitter. I'm basically The Crypto Economy everywhere if you're looking for me. And of course, only like one out of every 6 episodes or so actually gets on the LTBN network. So if you want to catch all of the other episodes, definitely subscribe to The Crypto Economy with Guy Swan, because I basically do this every day. There is an ocean of stuff. We're coming up on 400 reads very quickly. It is amazing what you can find. We got Shelling Out by Nick Szabo. We have practically a fourth of that guy's blog. We have The Bullish Case for Bitcoin. We have numerous pieces by Hayek, What Has Government Done to Our Money, The Use of Knowledge in Society, so many pieces on Lightning, so many pieces by Bitcoin Magazine. I mean, the whole Unchained Capital Gradually Then Suddenly series, the ocean of stuff. I'm going back through, and sometimes I just go back and I'll listen to my own stuff now because the library has gotten so huge. I want to make sure that other people know that this is out there. There is an ocean of audio that I have actually made available and continue to do so. So don't forget to subscribe to The Crypto Economy with Guy Swan and share it out with everybody you know in the Bitcoin and crypto space so that they too can get all of the best in Bitcoin from the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. All right. Peace out, everybody. I love you all. Catch you next time. Until then, take it easy, guys.